This is a Crowd podcast.
Welcome to Go Love Yourself.
I half want a shower. I'm half in love with some of them.
Okay, am I the arsehole for suggesting my 7-year-old name his new stuffed tiger Tig Bitties?
Already obsessed.
So in today's episode, we are doing the very first Ask Us Anything of season 4. We're so excited. We're going to react to some of your Tinder nightmares. I cannot wait for that. And guess what? It will include phrases like, I like long walks on the beach and anal. I can't wait to get into that. Not literally get into that, but you know what I mean.
Oh, that was so good.
Right? I'm on good form today.
Oh my God, right. Yeah, let's crack on.
Okay.
I can't because we've both seen the first question.
If you're thinking what is going on, we've just seen the first question, and me and Lauren had our first argument recently.
I can't talk about it, Laura. I really
she ignored me for like 2 days. She did. She ignored me for 2 days. She would not voice note. We voice note most days.
I didn't talk to you. I was so angry.
Oh, no. It's very important. So the first question that we've got in is, have you seen anything good recently? Lauren, have you seen anything good recently? Because I haven't.
Yes, you have. You are wrong. You've seen it. It's good.
Right, this is so funny. Like, we all know that Laura and I differ on so many of our preferences.
Most things.
But this has been probably the most divisive one yet. I cannot understand it, and I'm still upset, if I'm honest.
Build a bridge, get over it. The Little Mermaid.
I saw your review about it before I went to go and see it. So I was sat there with my friend, my other friend and her daughter, and I was like, right, it's going to get shit in a minute. Laura says it's going to get shit, so we must get shit in a minute. Is it now? Well, that was wonderful. What, is it coming? And at the end of it, and me and Stacey just looked at each other, I'm like, what the fuck is she talking about?
I just thought visually it was very dark. Maybe it was our cinema. I don't know. But people were leaving, babes. It wasn't just me.
I think that's... They must have gone to the toilet and come back.
People packed up all their stuff and they left.
That's so weird. I'm telling you now. Because the 2 times I saw it, people were loving it. And it got busier. The second time was busier than the first time because word of mouth got round. That it's great.
I tell you one thing, I am actually, I don't know if excited is the right word. I'm sure you are literally creaming your pants over it. It's the new Barbie movie.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I am so excited. I have honestly, like, I know we can't even talk about it. I have been in like proper Barbie mode for like 2 months, 3 months. I'm so excited because I think it's actually going to be fabulous. But I tell you what I've really liked, Laura Adlington, has been the kind of Barbie fashion that's been everywhere.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it? I've even quite liked seeing
it's just been fabulous. Yeah. It's pink everything. Everyone's doing pink things.
I do love it. I also, I read something the other day that if Barbie was actually a real life person, she wouldn't be able to walk because her breasts would make her fall on the floor.
I understand, yes.
Yeah, so I don't really like the kind of the history of the Barbie, but I have heard that it kind of does turn things on its head a little bit, or like kind of question the beauty standards. I'm cautiously optimistic, and yeah, I can't wait to hear what you all think of it, and most importantly, what you, Lauren Smith, think of it.
I think I'm just going to love it because I just love all the things. If the press tour fashion is anything to go by and the attention to detail that every single actor has had on that red carpet portraying different Barbies from the last 50, 60 years, I don't know if you know this, Laura, but basically I modelled my house on the Barbie house. Ta-da! So I'm very excited.
Did you actually? I did not know this.
Of course I didn't. But basically, I live in a house that's full of pink loveliness. So basically, I live in the Barbie house and I can't wait.
Okay, so Lauren, I'm going to ask you, what things have you achieved or learned this year that have given you more confidence?
Oh, that's such a good question. Thank you to whoever asked that. I think one of the biggest things that has transformed everything for me is just putting my mental health first. And that's so like very blasé to say, and you know, someone who's single and child-free and lives alone, my life is basically putting myself first all the time. But I put myself first all the time, I mean my mental well-being. So like, I have tried to tackle my relationship with food and binge eating, and I have tried to move my body more and all that kind of stuff. And a few months in now, and I've got more confidence than I did before. Like, it's actually something you said to me, Laura, about like how you used to put in, you know, block out your lunch hour as like to do something for you. So I block out that lunch hour. I go out for a walk before work. I'm sorry, I'm going to be 10 minutes late to work that day. If I wake up in the morning and I feel like fucking shit, I need to get out, or I need to do something for myself, I'm going to be 10 minutes late. And I just think that's more important. But then the direct result of that has been I've got more confidence because I feel better. Like my brain just, the brain fog has lifted and it's lovely. And that's given me so much more confidence. And I love that. How about you?
I think for me, like the biggest challenge of this year definitely has been like writing and finishing the book. And I think there were so many times, you know, we talk about imposter syndrome quite a lot on the show. But I think for me, it was one of those things of like, I don't know why I've got this book deal. I can't do it. I'm not going to be able to do it.
And such a silly ghost.
Thank you. Well, can I just also say, just really quickly, a slight divergent, that Lauren was an absolute angel when it came to, she was proofreading for me, and like she was like ruthless in, not ruthless,
I was ruthless,
just really honest in some. No, you weren't. You were. She was so worried that she upset. She was every like, note she made. She's like, sorry.
But
she messaged me like, are we still friends? I was like, yes, I need this. Anyway, she would like every time she liked something, she'd be like, oh my god, this is amazing, I love it. And it just really kept me going towards the end. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I love you.
I love
that.
You too.
But yeah, just handing the book in, because it was definitely one of those things of like, I can't do it, and to actually hand it in, and not only hand it in, but be really so proud of it, was like just felt like a huge achievement for me this year. So yeah,
mate,
I've literally put everything into it. So
I've got nothing left.
US listeners will be like, what? It's a soap opera, Ian Beale. There's a famous scene. We'll share it on our Instagram. He's like, I've got nothing left. It's a meme. It goes around every year.
Oh my god. Laura, you should be so proud of yourself. I can't. Guys, what I read was sensational. And when I was going through and going, yes, oh my God, I can envisage people reading it and the reaction they're going to have to it. And especially if they perhaps don't even follow you on Instagram or don't even listen to the podcast and they're hearing some of that stuff for the first time. Like, it's going to be so good. I'm so proud of you for that.
Thank you, mate. And I'm so proud of you for how far you've come. Like, I feel like you're a different Lauren now. I just think everything that you've like had to face this year with like work and like other things, and like you just taking ownership of that and like doing exercise for your mental health, and I just love seeing you happy. And do you know, I was every time I listen to Lizzo special, I think of you and I cry.
No.
And I genuinely mean that, because I know how when we were it was really at the concert that made me think, because I think you were a bit emotional and I think I was as well. But it's that line where she says, I'm so glad that you're still with us, broken but then you're still perfect. And I just got chills. Sorry, I can't sing. Like, I just know how far you've come and how much you've overcome and how what a dark place you were in. And every time I hear that, I like, not overly religious, I thank God for you. And I feel so proud of you. And I'm so happy that you are in a happier place.
It was that song, wasn't it? And then I think I was just crying, whether you knew I was or not. And then you hugged me.
I noticed.
And
yeah.
I was just, oh, bless you, you're so sweet. And then, you hugged me and I was like, fuck, this is like, that's intense. And yeah, there's been some like a bit of a recent trigger with stuff. So probably why I'm a little bit more emotional than before, like I would be. But yeah, it's really nice. And I like that perhaps, you know, with building a community online and with this podcast, hopefully I can use that power for good and then be an example to people who are going through something bad, that there is light at the end of the tunnel. Because like we've spoken before again about both of us really struggling with, God, our brains telling us very, very dark and horrible things. But we're not there anymore. We've come through that. And like, it's really nice to perhaps, you know, what I needed maybe in those moments was someone saying, mate, I've been there, you know, I've wanted to not be here and all those things, but I'm still here and it's going to get better and it's nice. So that's really nice. Thank you so much. You made me cry.
Sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry.
You're so fabulous.
I just wanted to tell you that. I should have probably told you that on a voice note in private. But every time I hear that song, which is a lot because I love Lizzo, we know this, I always think of you and I always cry and I always just think how grateful I am that you are still with us.
Oh,
and
thanks.
You are perfect. Okay, should we move on? Because we've got like loads of questions and we're really dragging these out, aren't we? Sorry, everyone.
It is so good. Right, okay, I have a question. I'm still going to get emotional. And also, by the way, Laura, I think you're fucking fabulous, and I just love you so much.
Oh, thanks. Didn't have to say that. Oh,
I just love you. Right, okay, my question to you is, this is a really good one, interesting one. I want to know your answer to this. Have you got any advice for dealing with jealousy? I'm feeling like I'm constantly comparing myself to my friends.
Oh, this is something I really struggle with. I think more so when I was younger than now, to be fair. But I think it is so easy to think like someone has it better, someone's prettier, someone has it easier, someone's whatever. And actually, like, I do think that perspective is a really good thing. Like, if you can kind of get a hold on that and also think that, like, there are literally millions of people that would kill to be in your position, and like whether it's about looks or financial situation or family situation or whatever. I think it's about trying to find the joy in like your own life and focus on you. And that doesn't mean like being selfish, although I think we need to be selfish sometimes. It's literally just making, like, I think someone who is truly happy and content doesn't necessarily always have those feelings of jealousy, I don't think. And I think that so it's important, I think, to do a bit of like work on yourself, be compassionate about yourself. And when you do find yourself like comparing, literally just stop and think like, hey, this is not cool. Like, I would never say this about my friend or somebody else. So why am I doing it to myself?
I love that. I think that's perfect. And I also think, you know, jealousy or envy is a very natural human behavior and reaction to things. But I think, yeah, as you said, if you get some perspective, don't dwell on those things too much, because you'll spend your life wishing for other things and not enjoy the things that you've got.
So I know we've spoken a lot about this before, but sex is such it can be such an awkward topic, can't it, to talk about. And I feel like sex education in the UK is not the best, to be honest with you. I did not have the best sex education. It was very limited, and it was all about the kind of the functional thing over the kind of like the feelings and that kind of thing. Yeah, I think I grew up not really knowing much about sex, and I kind of like just learned from porn, which we'll come on to in a minute, which is why I'm like genuinely really excited that we are partnering up with Beducated, who are sponsoring this episode.
Oh God, mate, same. Because you know me, the exact opposite. I want to talk about sex all the time and I find no awkwardness with it. And I'm with you. I'm so pleased that we've got this partnership. So let me tell you about Beducated. So they offer online sex education courses that are all about your pleasure, which is just so good, and exploring your sexuality in a safe, judgment-free zone. Oh, just fantastic. They have over 100 courses from the world's top experts, with so much to choose from. So all the sexual basics are covered, like the different types of female orgasm, how to give the best blowjob, and different sex position ideas. Or if you want to get a bit more adventurous, there are also courses on lap dancing, choking, and learning how to squirt.
Things I never thought I'd hear you say on this podcast.
Honestly, this is maybe my favourite ad read we've ever done. I get to say the words, learning how to squirt. Love it.
I so wish I had this, like, growing up, and I'm so glad that we have it now, but gosh, this was just missing from my entire life. Anyway, it's not just about learning the skills. The focus is really on your pleasure, as Lauren said, and your experience of sex, which I think is brilliant. So yeah, there are also courses on sexual confidence, understanding your sexual orientation, and even things like endometriosis and menopause.
And I also love that there's such a variety of sex educators to choose from, including one iconic woman called Luna Matatis, who has courses on things like mindful presence during sex, and there's one called plus size sexy skills. Sign me up.
It's amazing. Like, I'm so chuffed that this is a thing, honestly. I can't tell you.
Yeah,
and I love that it's so easy to navigate. It kind of reminds me a little bit of like uni, in that it's set up with different modules and it's explicit enough to give you tips that you can actually try without it being like pornographic, which, if you're a prude like me, is kind of welcomed.
So if all of this wasn't enough, they have given us an exclusive deal just for our Go Love Yourself listeners. So if you would like to try out Beducated, head to beducated.com and use our code GOLOVE for 40% off your yearly pass. So that's beducated.com. So B-E-D-U-K-ed. Basically, it's educated with a B at the start.com. And then the code is GOLOVE, which will give you access to Beducated's entire library for just $10 a month. So go for it, everyone. Enjoy.
All right, one for you. Any advice for being more compassionate with yourself?
The best thing I can say, and I say this on Instagram quite a lot, is think of the way, would you say the things that you're saying to yourself, to your best friend, to your family member? no, then why the hell are you talking to yourself like that? And I see it all the time. And what's really interesting is that I'll post a photo or a video or something, and someone will say, oh my God, you look so great. I could, you know, I've got a big tummy, I can never wear stuff like that. And because I'm so like this and disgusting and I hate myself and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, my goodness, you don't even know me to, you know, on paper, I'm a stranger on the internet, yet you're being kinder to me than you are to yourself.
Mm.
And you've got to live with yourself, people. Like, this is it. It's you and you forever. It's a really shitty life if you just spend it at war with yourself. And if you don't love yourself, it's not even about loving yourself, even liking yourself. Loving yourself is a lot of work.
Just accepting.
Or yeah, accepting yourself. It's easier said than done, but talk to yourself in the same way you talk to your family and friends.
Amen to that.
Oh, I like this one. Are you ready? What are some of your biggest red flags or deal breakers when it comes to relationships and friendships?
That is a very good question.
That's very interesting.
For me, I would say the biggest deal breaker is somebody who doesn't understand like mental health. Like, I've had friends in the past when I've been going for a really bad time, and one person I don't actually speak to anymore because she's like, oh, things aren't that bad. I'm like, okay,
all right, then I'm cured.
Yeah, and I just don't think, like, Matt, I will have to say this, like, I love Matt dearly, but he isn't always, he doesn't really understand anxiety and depression, but he does try.
Yeah.
I couldn't put up with someone that was like, oh, man up, you know, yeah, cheer up, get over it. That for me is a red flag. What about you?
One massive deal breaker for me in relationships I found is someone that doesn't share my values, especially on some like key social issues. Now, like, me and my friends talk about this quite a lot, because I am so very liberal, so very left on a lot of my perceptions and views of things. Rightly so, my friends have pointed out, Lauren, you probably, you know, you might not find a dude out there who is the exact same as you. And I, you know, there are some, like, you can maybe have differences of opinion slightly, but there are some things to me that aren't a difference of opinion. It's a matter of right and wrong.
And I just think
I found something on TikTok recently and it was fantastic. And it was like this whole thing of like, oh, you haven't got a boyfriend yet, babe. I can get a boyfriend in 2 seconds. What I'm potentially looking for, if I was to have them, is the father of my child. Would I want the father of my child to be teaching my children those particular morals? Mm. Absolutely fucking not. Mm. That's just for me. But I think as the older I get, that's a deal breaker for me.
Totally. You're so principled, aren't you? And I love, it's one of the things I love most about you.
I'm very principled. My mother's like, for God's sake, Lauren, people are allowed an opinion. I'm like, no, they're not, Mum.
Not when they're wrong. I couldn't be friends with or tolerate anyone in my life that was like racist, homophobic, transphobic. Like, I've no time for it.
No time. Can't
for it
be
your
friend. I'm not going to fuck you. See you later. Bye.
Politics though, what about politics? Because I think I'm very Switzerland. Like, I've got splinters on my ass from sitting on the fence too much sometimes when it comes to politics. I'm just, the whole thing like annoys me, frustrates me. I'm a bit like over it. I don't really honestly feel like I sit in either camp, to be quite honest with you. But I will, because you're so left wing, would you ever date someone? I think I know the answer to this. Why am I even asking?
I'm less like about because I have dated a Tory in the past.
Oh my God. Is that what you're counselling for, was it?
No, but then, you know, it's a part of them. It depends where they sit on these, you know, moral and social issues. And there are some things, as somebody who's worked within the NHS for 7 years, like, it's very, very difficult to have that compassion with somebody who perhaps doesn't feel the same you do about public services and stuff like that. That sounds, I mean, how fucking unromantic is that? But that's just the reality of life. So I would be less black and white about it, but only grey. So
fair enough. That's kind of what I expected, to be fair.
Oh, I like this question. How do you work with the wardrobe you have if you've put on weight and can't afford new clothes? Oh, what a question. Why, we haven't really spoken about this that much.
That is honestly such a hard question, especially in the current climate. It is, clothes, everything's gone up.
Oh, God.
And sometimes, oftentimes, like, clothes are seen as a luxury, aren't they? Mm-hmm. Because we need to put food on the table. We need to heat the house. Potentially look at Vinted as an option. Potentially look at alterations as well. That might be an alternative that's cheaper to buying new.
That's a good idea.
You don't have to get rid of the things that don't fit you if you don't want to, although I'm a big advocate for that. But put them maybe away and then make it like clear what you have got and what does fit, so then you know what to kind of like pair it with. Ooh, I think would be my sort of
that's
best
a really good
advice.
Idea. That would be a painful process when you go through all your clothes and they don't fit, but then just get rid of them or sell them, then use that money to go towards some new outfits. And like Laura said, it doesn't have to be particularly expensive. And honestly, I cannot recommend charity shops, boot fairs, Vinted, Depop, eBay, any of those secondhand places. Go and you can find some fantastic things for like a couple of quid, would be my total recommendation. But sell what you've got and use that money towards stuff that you really want to wear.
This is an interesting one. Is it normal to feel embarrassed about how my vagina / pubic area looks? I feel like mine looks fat.
100,000% that's normal. Let's think about where the majority of us see like vaginas and vulvas in the world, and that is porn. And those are women who are employed to do that. They look a certain way, right? And that's absolutely nothing wrong with them. And then also, just to reiterate, there's nothing wrong with you. They're like snowflakes and they're fabulous. And I remember a TV show, it must have been like 15 years ago, and it was the first time I'd ever really seen like vaginas and vulvas on screen, and it was showing all these different women and what they looked like. And I just like, oh my god, I'm normal. Like, because they were all so different, and some looked like mine, some didn't, some looked like this, and it was just like, oh my god, fabulous. So yes, it's completely normal to not love it, but please rest assured, you are wonderful and normal and fabulous.
Yeah, completely agree. I really like sometimes think, oh, I really don't like mine either, because I think, oh, it's like really fat and chunky. And you know what? It is. And now I just like, it's not my favourite thing. I just accept it and go, well, that's what it is. That's what it looks like.
Exactly.
Does it really matter? In the grand scheme of things, like, does it really matter? Like, no one's going to stand up at your funeral and go, she had a really fat vagina. Like, they're just not, are they?
No, exactly. And, you know, if it's a case of worrying what somebody else will think about it, trust me, they don't care. Don't let that be something else on the list that you have to, you know, think that you need to worry about. I can assure you don't. As long as you are healthy, that's the only thing that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Laura, I have a question for you now, because I don't think I could answer this one. So one of our lovely listeners has said, my partner and I are struggling to communicate. It feels like we're ships passing in the night and we're tired from work and dealing with our own crap, and we end up taking it out on each other. Have you got any advice on how to deal with that? And how do I know if it's something to work through or when it's time to call it quits?
Oh, mate, first of all, sorry that you're going through that. That sounds horrible and very stressful, especially if you have got other crap, as you said, going on. I think communication is like probably the most fundamental part of a relationship. So like the fact that that isn't working like is like not great, I would say. And I think that counselling is a fantastic option to kind of like get people talking. I think sometimes, again, I don't want to throw Matt under the bus here, but talking, communication, not his strongest point. Whereas I'm a chatty Cathy and I'll just be like, should we talk about it? Should we talk? And he's just like, no, what's there to talk about? And I'm like, no, come on, let's talk everything through. So I can only speak from personal experience that like, I think sometimes some people don't find it as easy as others. So in that situation, I don't know. I'm just saying that if that is a sort of similar case with you, maybe it's you that kind of finds it hard to communicate as well, or you're just not connecting. Having someone else help and kind of facilitate that, like communication skills and style, might be really, really beneficial for you. And I feel like, babes, I feel like you know. When you know, you know.
It's what you then do with that, because how many of us have been in a relationship when we know in our heart of hearts, in our gut, that it's not right, but ending a relationship, a marriage, or whatever, oh, sweet Jesus. Like Laura said, try, but you deserve to be very happy.
So the last question, and this is something that I keep getting asked about you constantly.
Oh, do you?
I do. It's for an update on your dating life.
Oh dear.
Are you ready to be let down, everybody?
As I said at the beginning of our little Q&A, I've been putting my mental well-being first. And as I've said before, that does not include dating, because it is such an emotional roller coaster. And I'm like, I just don't need it right now. I'm really sorry.
On a serious note though, I am really pleased that you're prioritising your well-being above that. Boys. I think that's wonderful. But I have good feelings and vibes for you. I have good feelings for you.
Thanks, I have good feelings for you too.
You should take this offline.
Take this offline. I cannot. I have been in like 74 corporate meetings today and I just want to hurt you.
Oh, It's gone from I have feelings to I want to hurt you. Cool, cool, cool. Thanks. Love you too.
However, even though I'm not dating, we did ask on our Instagram about some Tinder nightmares, right? We asked for basically like the worst pickup lines, mate. I admit my opinion of the male species can often be quite low. It's not about to get much higher with these openers. Are you ready?
Oh my God, I've just read the first one and I actually feel sick.
Lovely listeners, lovely, wonderful listeners. The first one is, I'd suck off your dad just to get a taste of what you're made of.
I don't find that funny. I find that really offensive. And if someone said that to me, I would honestly block immediately. It's disgusting.
Oh, they'd get fully blocked. But that's fucking hilarious. It isn't disgusting hilarious.
Yeah, it's gross. Honestly, like, you need to, like, get in the bin. You need to get in the bag of dicks. What do they expect the response to be, though? Like, cool, I'll just go and grab him.
Oh, Dad. My God.
Okay, should we move on?
Oh, yes, please.
One of our listeners told us that she got told her tits look like Phil and Grant Mitchell from EastEnders.
Why?
I mean...
Oh, yeah, I don't hate it. I don't hate it. I think that just means they're like nice and round, right? And it's not the dirty talk we're after, but it did make me laugh.
We also had, would you like to... Oh, God. Would you like to ride my meat bus?
What the fuck is a meat bus? Even the actual literal connotation of a bus full of meat is not cute.
It's not, is it? Like, oh, yes, please. Get me off at the first stop.
Start. Ding, 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 ding. Off, please, driver. This is a great one.
Oh, no.
I like big breasts and you have two. Okay.
Wow.
Jesus. I like, honestly, not that this hasn't happened recently, but back in the day when like on dating apps, you just get guys and they'd match with you and be like, nice tits. Oh.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. There's, I think I can trump that one because I've just read this and I think this is my favourite. It's so romantic. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Your hair is brown like a twig.
Oh my God. I think I've had that before. I'm not, I'm actually really? Not, I'm actually genuinely not kidding. I think someone said that to me before.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God, is it the same boy?
Can you imagine that on like a hair dye packet, like twig brown.
Twig brown.
Probably.
Twig. It could have been anything. Could have been anything but twig. Twig's what I went for. Oh my God, this is the best one. My name is Fred and I like long walks on the beach at sunset and anal. Who doesn't love a sunset anal, Fred?
At
honestly,
least it's direct. Fair enough, Fred. Whoever floats your boat, mate.
Laura, the last one that I can say, because again, I think I'm honestly, this is making me feel a bit sick, and very much like I made the right decision in not dating in 2023. Best chat up line of the day: I want to put your feet in custard.
Okay, what? And then do what with it? Put it in a trifle? Like, I'm not kink shaming anyone, but people are weird.
That is too fucking much. But also, Laura, did you know that on Hinge, which is one of the better apps, by the way, everyone, if you are dating, the guys that I've met and dated in the last year have all been from Hinge, so I would recommend. There's a feature now we can add like a voice note. Now, my understanding is that our lovely producer, Fionn, has got a couple that we can react to, and I'm very excited about this.
If there's any justice in the world, I would be a man.
You would be my girl.
That sounds like a serial killer.
Gotta be down because I want it all.
I suppose I would like to write a book.
No.
Perhaps something about the schism or something like that.
Oh, fuck off.
Definitely a history.
Ooh, give me creeps. Well,
history.
I'm going to make the sound lines look like a penis. Whoa.
I'm in love.
There's probably cooler guys on Hinge. There's probably hotter guys on Hinge. But there's not a single one
out there
that will treat you like I will.
Would you like a sweetie? A sweetie?
A sweetie.
These are Smarties. An absolutely stupendous confectionery.
Is that Chris Eubank?
Oh, wub.
This is my impression of Severus Snape at a pub quiz when the question asked is, what's the profession of someone who makes stuff out of clay?
Potter.
I've heard him.
Shut up.
He's an African grey.
Yeah, I felt very uneasy from the very beginning.
She was eating her salad with her hands.
Hey, ladies. I'm Austin. I'm 23. I'm looking for a lovely lady to take out for a nice drink or two.
About crumbs.
And this is my profile.
This is Carmen. Carry her to my own.
Oh, I like it.
Good tune, to be fair. Oh, I feel like I need to go shower. Do you? That's honestly, that's just...
I half want to shower. I'm half in love with some of them.
Really?
Waiting for a star to fall.
That makes me so happy to be married and want to do it all. I'm sorry. No, I don't want to sound like an arsehole.
I feel
but...
like if you're single, you've got to learn to find the funny in these things, because that's the level that we're dealing with here, Laura.
I feel for you, mate. I really do. Better you than me. I couldn't do it.
But like the Harry Potter guy, like Potter. Like, I can't do it. I can do a Draco. I can't do a Snape.
Go on then, do Draco.
That was it.
Oh, sorry, I don't really watch it.
<That's> cool.
I'm sure that's great. That's exactly how he sounds.
I can do a great Hermione. Sure, no, you can't. There must be another way. Smashed it. So
love the confidence.
Oh, oh God. Right, okay. This is why we're not dating, Laura. It's terrifying. But that was hilarious, and good luck to those men. Some of those men need to not.
I agree. One of them sounded like the child catcher. Mm-hmm. Like, where's my sweetie? No.
That was wonderful.
I want to know, is there anything that someone could say that would like instantly make you fall in love with them on a voice note?
I mean, yes. One, so I do like the guys that put the music on and they do like a welcome to my profile. I think that's quite funny. I had one guy,
really?
I think it's quite funny because it's like you actually listen to the music while you're going through their profile. And some dude did Careless Whisper and of like, just that, oh, just to know, sometimes you need a little bit of the Careless Whisper. It was great. Obviously, you're going to talk about history. Just generally, if you're going to be very like funny and sassy, I could very easily fall in love with you. I think you can crack out a lot more in a 1 minute voice note that you can on like, hi, how are you? Yeah, good, thanks. How are you? Well, how's your day going? Fuck off! I sound like a chicken, but you know what? You get the vibe.
Oh, Fionn, please repeat that and then make that into a thing on TikTok.
Oh, do you know what's really sad? I either sound like a chicken when I do that or I sound like a seagull when I laugh. It's like, like it's not cool.
Oh. And this, ladies and gentlemen, is why she's
this is why I'm single. And this is why I don't have a voice note on my dating profiles.
What's that? No, you haven't got a boyfriend.
I can't believe it, right?
I don't know why.
She sounds like different birds and she goes to history lectures for fun. Oh, that was very fun, though.
That was fun. I enjoyed it. Well, did I enjoy that? No. Am I going to sleep well tonight?
Are you happy with your life choices at this point?
Yes.
There it is. There we go. That'll do.
Maybe
for
I'll
me.
Be less mean to Matt this week.
Poor Matt. At least he didn't have to give you... Well, I'm assuming voice notes weren't a thing when you guys met.
No. Literally, I think he messaged me and was like, I like your profile.
Oh, fuck me. Do you know what's so funny? I wouldn't have responded to that.
It's only because I thought he looked cute and he was new. I thought, I think he seemed like quite shy, which he was when I first met him. And I was like, okay, we'll take a chance. And obviously,
and
yeah,
his first message was literally, I like your profile.
It was something like on Plenty of Fish, it said like, there was a section that said first date. And what it meant was like, where would you go? And like, everyone was like, the zoo. Fucking hate zoos. Mm-hmm. Animal cruelty. Not here for it. Let's move on. But mine was like, I was 5 and he was 6. Something like that. We rode on a horse
Yeah,
right. And he thought it was funny. So he was like, that really made me laugh.
Oh, well, that's
and
nice.
I was like, okay. So yeah, that was his in.
Oh, the origin stories of Laura and Matt, everyone.
I stole it from someone else's profile.
Fuck yeah. Always. No originality when it comes to dating profiles. Mine is all stolen.
I love that for you. I feel like I need to see your dating profile. I want to have a name.
We can do it. Tell you what, everyone. I promise that when I am ready to start dating later in the summer, probably, I would need to redo my profile because I haven't done it since we had Stephanie Boa on in season 1, if you remember.
Oh, God, that's ages ago.
Yeah, so some of my photos, I mean, I think I've looked the same. I haven't aged too much in a year and a half. Don't say anything if you think otherwise. So I can do it here and I can go through and I can kind of be like, this is what's on my profile. Like, maybe ask you some questions, see what you think. What photo shall I have? That's for people that might be struggling with their dating. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds good to me.
All right, okay. That sounds like a good compromise for the fact that I keep disappointing everyone by going, no.
Okay, good news. We are back with some more Am I the Arseholes? And we have got some really good ones for you today. Are you ready?
Always.
Okay, am I the arsehole for suggesting my 7-year-old name his new stuffed tiger Tig Bitties?
Already Tig-bitties. Obsessed.
My 7-year-old son recently got a new stuffed tiger and named him Tig. A classic. But everything went downhill when he asked me what his surname should be. And of course, I suggested his surname should be Bitties. So his name would be Tig Bitties. I've only just got it.
Are you serious?
I know, I'm a bit slow today. It's a bit warm. Obviously, my son has no idea what it means, but it turns out he loved the surname and didn't want to change it. So now his new favourite toy is called Tig Bitties. I thought it was hilarious, but my wife is pissed and she's worried I'll cause trouble if he starts telling people his toy's name. Am I the arsehole?
Tig old bitties, like...
Tig old bitties. Tig old bitties. I think that's funny. I think, yeah, long time dead, aren't you? You got to have a laugh.
Yes, there is a bit of it's like, well, you're 7.
If he doesn't understand
it. He doesn't know what it means, though. Yeah. Like, I know. Yeah, I don't have an opinion, I think, without having, knowing many 7-year-olds, I don't know how they feel, but I think it's hilarious. What are you going, Laura? Not the arsehole.
I think not an arsehole. I think it's just a bit of fun. Funny.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Right, we've got another one. This is a really cool one. So I'm going to read it on my phone. That was interesting to know one. Okay. am I the arsehole for scaring my sister-in-law with a giant cardboard cutout of The Rock? I'm already so excited. My sister-in-law is super nosy and our house is set up weirdly. So there's a door to our bedroom in the guest bathroom. So when she comes over and she goes to the bathroom, I suspect she's actually going into our bedroom. She denies it, but she takes ages in the bathroom and I heard the doors open and close. So the next time she came over, I decided to put something in our room to scare her into confessing. And what better than a Dwayne Johnson cardboard cutout? So I went and ordered a full-size rock and placed it in our bedroom facing the bathroom door. About an hour into the visit, she heads to the bathroom and very shortly after, there's a scream, a thud and a door slam. She came out clearly angry. She'd been quite startled and slammed her arm into the door frame while turning away from the cutout. Her husband made it worse by asking, well, why were you in their bedroom? She's posted on Facebook that she has a big bruise on her arm as a result of my nasty prank. People are saying she could have been hurt worse and that she's too old to be the victim of a childish prank. I felt bad that she was hurt. It wasn't my intention, but I might be the arsehole because I still think it was hilarious.
I think that's funny.
That's like, fucking hilarious. Yeah. Also, why are you going in their bedroom, you weirdo?
Yeah, no, I think, obviously it's not great that she got hurt or anything, no. But that wasn't your intention. Your intention was just to kind of have a bit of fun and like... Yeah. Scare her a little bit. So again, I would say lighten up a little bit.
Also, I love that it was The Rock. I think the fact that it is The Rock is so perfect because he huge. So it just would have been this like presence. Oh, love it.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode. We really hope you enjoyed it and we'll be back with a new episode next week. But if you want more of us in the meantime, make sure you follow us on Instagram at Go Love Yourself Pod and join our Facebook group, Go Love Yourself Community. Or if you'd like to get in touch with us, you can email golove@crowdnetwork.co.uk.
You can also support the show by subscribing on Patreon or Apple Podcasts, where you can get ad-free and early episodes for just £1 a week. Or you can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Oh, thank you so much for listening to this episode. We've loved it. And we will see you next week. Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.
Hello, I'm La La La, Let Me Explain, and this is It's Not You, It's Them, but it might be you. I'm here to answer all your questions around love, relationships, sex, dating dilemmas, and anything else you throw my way. Join me 3 times a week as we work through the depths of this intimacy pool together. From Sony Music Entertainment, listen and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.